Hello, my imaginary friends. It's August the 16th, Tuesday, 2011. Simon, this is my audio boo. First of all, I want to say, I apologise for not being very chatty recently. It's the way it is at the moment. Welcome to GBATL. He's a follower of my audio boo, and I've followed you back. We were introduced by Nick Holloway Vox, so thanks for that, Nick. GBATL is an interesting name, actually. It makes me think, obviously, GB, Great Britain, and ATL is, isn't that automatic takeoff and landing? I think. Anyway, yes, I'm listening, so watch out what you say. The main person I wanted to reply to is Arta UK. So, Ruth, yes, about the Drobo stuff, yeah, that's really good. Sounds like a really good device, and I'm a big fan of RAID 5, where you get the resiliency and also the speed, and not too much kind of wastage of disks. RAID 1 mirroring always seems like a waste to me, because you like 50% of your drive space kind of seems to be wasted, whereas with RAID 5, you know, it's only one drive basically. But yeah, good stuff. RAID 0 is the striping, and the other, of course, people would look it up on Wikipedia, I'm sure. It's definitely a handy technology, and especially if you've got large amounts of video and big files that you need to secure. You can see it works really well for someone who does videos. I can kind of see also why Andy is kind of a amateur photographer, hasn't got huge amounts of photos to manage, business critical information and stuff, so I can see why for him at this stage it's probably overkill. Definitely bear in mind the 3-2-1 rule that Syzygy mentioned. It's definitely still worth bearing in mind. The Drobo device, I think I definitely would think about that for the future for my own needs as well. Good stuff. About the multiple Twitter accounts. So clearly there's different ways of doing these things, really, isn't there? Different strategies. And so in order to help me explain my point, I've drafted in the assistance from the lovely JN2N.
Hello.
Hello. The way that Ruth described that she has everything that she does goes into Arta UK Twitter account, and even if somebody does follow Geek Mummy as well on Twitter, you instantly get a message to say, please follow me on Arta UK if you want to hear about everything else I do. So I've taken that as a signal to follow both, and I think that's how Ruth described it, to follow Arta UK as well. But then that means that I get every time that a post appears, I get two copies of it. So I'm not talking about having the multiple posts during the course of the day, different times of the day. That's absolutely fine. I haven't got any qualms about that. That makes perfect sense. The bit that bothers me is when I get the simultaneous posts. And it kind of feels, rather than sort of being bad, oh, look, there's a Geek Mummy post I can have a read of, it kind of, I get a little bit irritated by the fact that it's there twice. And I don't want to feel that way about Geek Mummy. Judging from what Ruth says, it kind of sounds like I just need to unfollow Geek Mummy and just follow Arta UK, because I'm interested in the other things that Arta UK does. But I wanted to follow Geek Mummy because I wanted to show my allegiance to Geek Mummy, and kind of I want people to see when they come to my Twitter page, they then see that I follow Geek Mummy and they think, oh, what's that? That's interesting.
I think that's a good thing. You show your allegiance, but I was wondering, I only follow Arta UK at the moment, and I'm kind of wondering what exactly is my incentive for following Geek Mummy if I can already have everything on Arta UK.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound to me like Ruth wants me to follow Geek Mummy. She just wants me to follow Arta UK so that I can learn about the other things that she does.
No, I'd just like to know that from Ruth. So Ruth, what is the incentive for me? Because it just sounds like if I do that, then like Simon, I just get punished by lots of duplicate posts.
Is that the intention, actually? Do you think that I've got more chance of seeing your posts because they appear twice in my stream?
Yeah, but they come at the same time, then, don't they?
They do, yeah.
So if you see one, then you see the other.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the idea is there, but I mean, to me, I want to kind of target people, and there's absolutely no problem for somebody to follow, you know, follow GT90SPT and Nip News and Slam Idol, you know, to follow all these things separately. There's nothing to stop you on Twitter. You know, you're encouraged to follow as many different accounts as you can, really. It's not like in old days with blogs where, you know, the more feeds you had, the more difficult it became to manage your blog reader. Twitter's not like that. To me, I kind of think about these different brands as different businesses, and I can, you know, if somebody comes to me and says, you know, I want to, why should I advertise on Nipper News, why would I want to advertise on Geek Mummy? You know, you could then point at the Geek Mummy Twitter account and say, look, you've got X thousand viewers following the Geek Mummy. It shows the power of that particular brand. Whereas at the moment, you just have to point at R2UK and say, well, I've got, you know, X number of X thousand people following me, but I can't tell you which ones are interested in Geek Mummy and which ones are interested in Permanently Lost. Or
so from a marketing PR perspective, that is pretty worthless data, because you can't separate out who's interested in what. So for the advertisers, I guess it would be good to know who exactly is interested in which brand. To be able to show them how many followers there are, yes, and then that, you know, that's how much money that would be worth. What was the other thing?
I don't know. The only thing I was thinking about was, I was sort of thinking about the
targeting. I suppose if you want to target something in particular, well, again, that's worth for advertisers, worth a lot more money for advertisers, because you can target stuff specifically. Oh yeah, because I was thinking in this world of there's too much information around, and people easily switch off. So in PR, certainly what we did was everything had to be targeted, because otherwise people would just bin it if it wasn't exactly right for them. And I suppose on things like Twitter, where it's just too much information on there, people are just interested in seeing what exactly is tailored to them. And that, I think that's in marketing and PR, this is the mantra these days. You just have to absolutely tailor everything to make sure that, because even then you can't guarantee that people are going to see it at the right time, they're going to be interested in it at the right time. But if you don't tailor at all, it's just going to go straight, you know, it's like the emails that you get, sort of the junk emails that you get, you just don't even look at that. And then there's always the danger, I suppose, that people switch off because they think that they just get lots of what they consider junk that oneself wouldn't consider junk, but they do, because it's not really targeted at them.
Yeah.
And that they stop, you know, they stop reading it.
They might even unfollow you, you know. Yeah. I know, you know, I imagine you get, if you know, Permanently Lost, for instance, your World of Warcraft blog, you know, I'm sure you get a different, you know, you might have people that might be interested in following that wouldn't be interested in the parenting stuff. Mm. I'm also thinking of Blogoration, you know, that could really take off, and a blog all about Blogcraft. You know, I could imagine at some point in some future scenario where that really took off, and maybe some company came to you and said, actually, well, we want to take this off your hands, and we'll take all your staff of writers, but we don't, you know, but we want to take it away from you, and give you £100 million compensation for it. You know, you'd be able to hand it off to them and say, look, here you go, there's the Blogoration website, there's the Twitter feed, you've already got 500,000 subscribers on there, you know, you've kind of got a property there, you can people can see the value of, and you can pass it on, and you can easily sort of separate it out. Maybe that's a bit big picture stuff, but you kind of start small and think big, don't you?
Well, I think it's easier if you do it now to when once you're still building up the brand. If you want to do that later and separate out, it's always going to be more complicated and it'll involve more explanations and it's going to be more confusing than if you start at the same time. If you start now when it's still fairly small, but I do understand what Ruth's saying that it's more work for her. But I think sort of building up brand. I mean, I'm looking at it totally from a marketing PR point of view, because that's my area of expertise, if you can call it that. It's very hard to build up brand, and it does take a lot of sort of hand picking and hand selecting and a lot of time to build that up and a lot of effort. I mean, once the brand is big enough, then it's fairly easy to then get word of mouth and then pull more people in. But in the beginning, it's a lot of hard work.
I can see it can seem attractive at the moment, because by having it all in one Twitter account,
oh, yes.
you can there'll be a lot of cross-pollination that you're anticipating going on, where people will follow you because of Just Relax, and then they'll discover Geek Mummy because it's all in the same feed. So I can kind of see you're hoping for cross-pollination in that way. And if you do separate them out with different accounts, then you have to work harder to get that to make that cross-promotion happen. Well, I can see that for Ruth, it's very very convenient for it all to be in one account for her. For her convenience, she just has to look at one account for replies and that stuff. I can see that right now it kind of feels easier for Ruth to do it that way, and it's less work.
That's my point, though. It's easy now, but later on it would be harder, and I just wouldn't want her to kick herself and think, oh my god, if I'd done it back then, it was still a lot easier, even if it was more work sort of keeping the separate accounts going. Or just leave the accounts alone and just have everything on one account but not do anything on the other accounts, because you were saying that it's confusing for her as well as for people having separate conversations going, and you don't know where the conversation is going to continue on which accounts.
I can say that, you know, Ruth doesn't want her brands to be hijacked by leaving those, you know, by not claiming those Twitter accounts. She doesn't want her brand to be hijacked. So absolutely can see why she's claimed those accounts. But maybe you shouldn't. Maybe don't post on them, but I don't think that's wrong. No, I think you should be posting the stuff on there, and getting people to follow those separate accounts. It just makes more sense to me in the big picture. I don't know. Maybe Ruth's got some. Maybe Ruth's following somebody who does it that way, and it works for them. Maybe she's got some better examples. I wonder whether she's experiencing from a user perspective what I'm experiencing. Whether she's getting that from someone else. Maybe she's got a Twitter client that filters these things out. I'm using the Twitter sponsored accounts.
Yeah, that'd be good.
The Twitter sponsored software that doesn't filter these things out. Maybe she's using something that intelligently filters those things out, and that's why she's not seeing that problem. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's something that we're not seeing. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Do tell us.
So it'd be good if. So that's my question for Ruth. What is my incentive to follow Geek Mummy? And then maybe we'll find out.
Looking forward to hearing.
We're obviously doing it wrong. Right, okay.
Oh, thank you for joining. Points on that? Thank you for joining me on my audio boo.
No, it's a pleasure.
Okay, toodle-boo.
Bye-bye.